Let's take as our starting point the beautiful gospel we had yesterday. You remember Jesus praised the Father, thanked the Father for having hidden certain things from the wise and the clever and revealing them to the little ones. And then the beautiful invitation, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy, my burden light. You remember that gospel, very beautiful invitation to discover the great love of God, the mercy of God, the humility of God. And it sounds rather simple, no? Come to me, you who labor and are burdened. And when we respond to it, we realize it is simple. But the more we think about it, or that we reflect on our own journey of faith, we realize, even though Jesus' invitation is simple, and his idea of drawing us to the Father is simple, we're the ones who make it complicated. We could ask ourselves, well, if this is what Jesus invites us to do, to draw close to him, to come to him when we are burdened, why is it that when we're burdened, we don't go to him? Why do we do other stuff? Why do we, you know, look for some kind of escape, or we slip into complaining, or self-pity, or blame, or we look for some compensation? Say, you go to shopping, or go to the internet, or do something to fill, we do something to fill ourselves up. That never works. None of those things work. And I'm not against, you know, recreation. We have to take breaks and do things that satisfy our needs. But if we don't go to Jesus, then we're never going to find the rest that he offers us. So we're the ones who complicate it, and it seems that we have to keep relearning the lesson of what it means to go to Jesus when we're burdened, to bring our burdens to him. And then we misunderstand what he means by, I will give you rest. We think that that means we won't have any more problems. And that's not what he says. He says, take my yoke. Take on my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And we say, well, we would rather have no yoke, no burden. We don't want his yoke. We'd rather have an easy life. And see how we complicate it? Here, Jesus gives us an easy yoke, a light burden, and we say, well, no, we don't want that one. We want something lighter, something easier. And of course, we look around and we don't find it. So that's yesterday. Now, let's take a look at today's first reading. We come back to our friend Jacob. This is the grandson of Abraham. So Abraham is the man of faith in the Old Testament. He knows what it means to trust in God even without seeing God's promises unfold. Abraham gets it. Isaac, his son, well, he didn't see very well, but at least he passed on the promise. Jacob and Esau are the grandsons of Abraham, and here's Jacob fleeing the promised land. Why? Because his great strategy for getting the blessing has backfired on him. Now his brother Esau is so angry at him, he wants to kill him. And so the mother, Rebekah, says, well, this isn't exactly what I wanted. You better get out of town until Esau cools down. Wait for his anger to settle down. Otherwise, your life is at risk. Now, that's the real reason why Jacob is leaving. He's just getting out for to save his life. But the excuse he gives to his father, Isaac, is, I have to go find a wife from our ancestors, from our relatives. I have to go find a wife. Okay, so here's Jacob. He's, again, scheming, deceiving, lying. He's just not a very good man. But God is a good God, and God has a good plan for Jacob. And here's Jacob. He's at the edge of the promised land. He's about to leave. Beersheba is to the south, southern, near the southern border of the promised land. And he sleeps in this shrine. And lies down with his head on a stone. And he has this fantastic dream of the connection between heaven and earth, a stairway that reaches to the heavens, and angels are going up and down the stairway. And there's the Lord himself declaring to Jacob, this land that you're leaving is the land I'm going to give you. It's the land I promised to your grandfather. It's the land that belongs to my chosen people. And you are going to have so many descendants. You're going to be as plentiful as the dust of the earth. And he renews the great promise that he gave to Abraham. And I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Now, Jacob, because in those days, they tended to think that gods belong to certain places. And if you're in this place, you're under the authority of this god. And you go to another place, you're under the authority of another god. And so if you leave one land, well, then you leave God. That's how they tended to think. And God says, no, I'll go with you wherever you go. I'll be with you, I'll protect you, and I'll bring you back to this land, which is the one I have in mind for you. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. Great promise, great vision, a great affirmation of what Jacob had already heard from his father and his grandfather. So it's not like he'd never heard this sort of thing. He just never really believed it. He never really, I don't think he ever thought about it very much. He was so preoccupied, taking care of himself, scheming his way through life, that he didn't really learn yet how to trust in God's promises. He wakes up and says, wow, what's this? I've stumbled on the presence of God. I didn't even know it. How does he say it? The Lord is in this spot, although I did not know it. Well, the Lord is in every spot, Jacob. This is his land. The Lord is with you, Jacob. Jacob doesn't get it. He thinks that the Lord is there, but Jacob is leaving. He's still going to his relatives in Haran. And so he says, okay, well, God says he's here. And well, if he brings me back here, then he'll be my God. Not much faith there in Jacob. If the Lord remains with me, if he protects me, if he brings me back here, then the Lord shall be my God. You see the weakness there? I'll wait till God fulfills his promise and then I'll trust him. That's not faith. But this is what we often do. It's like saying, I'll go to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me when you're burdened. I'll go to him when I'm not burdened anymore. Then I'll believe. That's not how it works. When God does what I want him to do, then I will trust him. That's not trust. Okay, now we know Jacob learns his lesson eventually, but at this stage, he's still, this is the first time he really has a personal encounter with God, and he hears for himself God's promise. Now, God knows it's going to take some stages to get through to Jacob. Well, God knows this about us too. We have the great promise of Jesus, come to me when you labor and you're burdened. I will give you rest, take my yoke. We have all that, but God knows just because we hear it doesn't mean we actually do it. So God keeps journeying with us. Even when we go astray, God joins us. He keeps protecting us, keeps guiding us. So that we will learn the way of faith. The way of faith, which is the yoke. It's the easy yoke. To put our trust in God is difficult, but it's the easiest way to go. Put your trust in something else and you'll find life a lot more burdensome. You'll find it a lot heavier. So trust in God, especially when we don't yet see him acting, that's the best way to go. That's the lightest yoke we're ever going to get. Let's see how this plays itself out in today's gospel. We have two faith-filled petitioners and two extraordinary miracles in one gospel passage. We know this. One is the father whose daughter has just died. In other gospels, they identify him as Jairus. And then the woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Now, these two, the father of the girl and the woman who's bleeding, they're in desperate situations. They don't see an answer to their solution. but they turn to Jesus. They make a movement of faith. They don't say, heal me and I'll put my trust in you. Show me your power and then I'll believe. They say, I already believe. I already believe. I trust in you, and now please grant me this favor. That's faith. That's faith. They believe that Jesus can actually help them, even though they haven't seen it yet. In fact, this woman's been suffering for 12 years. And a lot of people who suffer for a long time say, well, if God were good, he would have helped me 12 years ago. And since he didn't help me then, and he hasn't helped me for 12 years, why should I put my trust in him? That's how we complicate the invitation of Jesus. As if we're saying, Jesus says, come to me when you labor and you're burdened. And we're saying, well, if I'm burdened, that means you're not being good to me. I'm burdened. I shouldn't be. Why should I trust in you if you let me be burdened? That's how we mess up the invitation of the Lord. The Lord says, no, I'm giving you a solution to this burden. I'm giving you a path forward. If you want to complain about it, well, then you're not going to make any progress. So this woman is a great example. After 12 years, she still has enough trust to say, if I just touch the tassel on his cloak, I shall be cured. A leap of faith. And we know Jesus cures her instantly. The man, in this version of the story, the little girl has already died. In other versions, she's on her deathbed. But in any case, by the time Jesus gets to the house, it's clear the girl's dead and everybody's mourning her death. Along comes Jesus and says, go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. And everybody's reaction is, what? What? This is a dead child. How can you come along and say she's sleeping? Because to God, who is the Lord of life, he sees beyond death. He has power over death. He's not frightened by death. In fact, it's easy for him to raise this girl from the dead. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. Come to me, you who are dead. You who are at the end of your rope. You who don't have any other solution. Come to me. That's Jesus' invitation. Come to me. Don't put up all kinds of counter arguments. Be humble enough to trust in God. Say, I don't understand it. I don't see any way out of it, but I put my trust in you. Here's the beautiful psalm response, and this is the summary of the lesson today. In you, my God, I place my trust. In you, my God, I place my trust. No matter what is happening, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I can't understand or what I want to complain about, I put my trust in God. And that makes all the difference. So this is how we come to him with our burdens, with our labors, with our yoke. And we, putting our trust in God, we find rest for our souls.